So my name is An, or that's what my friends call me, and my full name is Anaïs Duplain. I recently got done with a project at MPAC in Troy, kind of converting my last book, Black Space, on the Poetics of an Afrofuture into a 5-episode radio series. And I'm also the co-founder of the Center for Afrofuture Studies, which is an artist residency program for artists of color in Iowa City.
Welcome back to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. The last
Thank you.
time we spoke, it was just after your first week of the 5-week programming at MPAC that you were just mentioning. I'd love to start by asking you to sum up and reflect on that experience.
Sure, yeah. I have been interested in radio for a long time and have some friends over at Montez Press Radio in New York who I have done programming for and with. But my experience at MPAC was the first time that I was working with an audio engineer on an idea for radio that I had and not actually the person behind the computer. So we were able to kind of do things that were a lot more complex and really bring the text Black Space to life in a way that I absolutely could not have done if I was the one who was actually kind of producing it. So it filled me with a lot of hunger to do more radio work with a bigger team for sure.
And you also mentioned that you are the founding curator of the Center for Afrofuturist Studies. This space provides interactive, supportive, community-engaged, rigorous, and inclusive workspaces for artists of color. And I assume that your creation of the space grew out of a need that you yourself did not get as an artist of color. So could you talk a little bit about the kind of support that existed before the founding of the Center for Afrofuturist Studies, your experience in navigating that terrain, and what the center is doing for artists of color now?
Definitely. Yeah, that's a great question. And I should say that I came up with the idea for it even before I moved to Iowa City. It was kind of a desire to give a permanent home to some of the more nomadic curatorial projects that I had been doing at the time around the United States. And, at the time I was in Iceland, so I was doing some stuff there around Afrofuturism and Black futurity. And then I happened to be moving to Iowa for grad school. I went to the Iowa Writers' Workshop program for poetry. And in doing a kind of quick Google search of the arts ecosystem of Iowa City, found that I didn't see anything that was devoted specifically to Black contemporary art. And so I reached out to folks who are now my dear friends, John and Kelmia, at Public Space One, which is a community-based contemporary arts organization in Iowa City. And I was like, what if we buy a house together and use that to host, Black artists? And they, because they're awesome, were super down to kind of start to think about that with me. And once I was on the ground, we decided not to buy a house immediately, but to kind of, I think about it, to get to the part of your question about like what support was there and what have we created. I think about it as kind of two sides of a glass or a mirror, in the sense that certainly there's support that we're offering to the artists that we bring to Iowa City. It's a residency, we fly them out, they get an apartment, they get studio space, they do an exhibition, all of this stuff, kind of professional development. But for me, what was most interesting was thinking about inviting artists whose work I was familiar with into this new ecosystem that I found myself a part of, where those artists' voices were not yet represented, and to see, what is it like to kind of add this particular voice to this arts ecosystem. And that's just been like a really wonderful evolving experiment for us. Yeah.
There's a lot of misunderstanding of what goes into being an artist and the support that an artist needs, the process of it. And I'd love to ask you a process question after this, but when an artist isn't burdened by all these daily needs that, not the same support system with a salaried job, how are these art residencies really important in order to find that space to grow in a way that you can't otherwise?
Yeah, I love residency programs. And as an arts worker, I've worked kind of like in a number of capacities in and around arts orgs and in different kinds of arts orgs. And I think relative to, like galleries or museums or schools even, that like their residency is a really special kind of organization and location, because it's like you're getting all of the support in terms of education and financing and like time and space that you would be getting in school, but also you're being given at the same time all of these opportunities for like exposure and networking. And so the stakes are maybe more real than they would be if we were just a school. But also, instead of like a gallery, which is giving you that exposure, we're also like helping you do everything that you need to do. So it's kind of like this nice meeting between gallery and school, where you get to like practice new things and fail, and kind of, you know, that you have a community of support, but also there's real opportunities to kind of like further the work and share it with people who aren't familiar with it. And I think that's especially true of working in Iowa City and in the Midwest, because, as you know, I live in Brooklyn, and also a lot of the artists who we're bringing out are people who are in my network here and who have never been to the Midwest. And there's a whole different arts conversation happening in the Midwest. So for, I think, a lot of our East Coast artists, it's kind of their first time engaging with like the Midwestern arts ecosystem, which I think is like very gratifying. Yeah.
What would you say is, if you could just sum it up really quickly, what is the big difference?
It's a different political landscape for sure. You know, Iowa's a swing state. It voted red in the last election. So it's a place where the kind of racial dialogues that we're having are actually put to the test quite a bit, much more so than on the East Coast, in specifically like liberal cosmopolitan areas.
Mm. Yeah. I could do a whole segment just on that. I'd love to kind of have a little bit of an idea of what is this process to bring your work to life?
All of the work that I do always begins with a research phase. And I like to approach research in a very open-ended way. So it just means that I'm reading books I'm interested in and looking at art that I'm interested in, and then doing a very rigorous job of categorizing everything. So these books are on, you know, social justice, and these books are about this particular movement. So that later on, when I am coming up with a specific project to do, I already have a library created around that idea. The next step is sort of devising what form something will take. So whether it's a book or a piece of video or a radio show, it depends on what the topic is and kind of what tools are available to me at the particular time. And then there's just this fun creation phase of, you know, that's the most kind of open-ended and free part, where I think about it more like stream of consciousness or just open creativity. And then the kind of part that ends it all is a sort of like revision or editing period, where thinking about how to best communicate with my audience, how to really clarify the ideas, and make sure that it's good to go, ready to go. Yeah.
When it comes to our funding system, there usually is more weight put on the sciences and the maths. What would your argument be for funding the arts equally or even more than sciences?
Yeah, that's a great question. Specifically, I think it has to do with how engaging deeply with art changes audiences. Like, certainly I want artists to get more funding, but in particular, just seeing how my students respond to engaging with poetry or visual art, there's a particular kind of thinking that comes about in engaging with art that doesn't happen in other fields, that becomes very important in other places in life. So I would say in kind of like furthering education specifically, I think arts funding is important.
What is next for you? I know that you teach at Bennington College, and I also saw that you have a few virtual events coming up. So what's coming up?
What is coming up? Yeah, I'm moving to Vermont, teaching at Bennington. Immediate events that are coming up. So the CAS program has been helping, has been working with the MIPSTERS, which is short for Muslim Hipsters, and they're an arts collective that's doing a Muslim Futurism conference this coming weekend. And I'm giving a talk as part of that conference, but it's a 3-day conference with amazing panels all the way throughout. So I definitely recommend checking that out. It's all online too. I'm teaching a bunch of online workshops at MoMA, or the MoMA, through the program called, that they have called the MoMA Writing Club. So it'll be 3 times and you'll meet with me online and we'll look at a specific artwork in MoMA's collection and do some writing around that work. So yeah, that'll be fun for folks who want to do writing.
So thank you so much, Anne Duplan, for meeting with me. Coming back to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Nice to talk with you.